It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio. Want to thank everybody for tuning in. Got a pretty good number already this morning. And here we go, folks. It's race weekend. And it is Friday, and you know what Friday is here at Racing Boys, right? When we do Mostly Motorsports, it's Fun Phone Friday. Say that three times real quick. We're going to hang out, and Kirk Elliott's going to hang out with us. Austin, Todd Surprise is here with us as well. We're going to have a good show today. I want to know where people, what race is the most important to people today? What race are you going to watch, and where are you going to watch it? What is your priority tonight? I think my priority is going to be Williams Grove. I don't know about anybody. Hopstot would be one too, right? I mean,
that's tomorrow night.
We're Friday night. I guess Tri-City got rained out tonight, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Rained out about 3 o'clock
Austin,
yesterday.
I am so glad I've got you to correct me whenever I screw up, because, you know, I'm getting old. I'm starting to lose it a little bit, man. I'm just getting a little sideways. My mind's not working as good as it used to work. And Austin always gets in there and bails me out, like you have, Kurt, for the last 22 years. You've done that a couple times, bailed me out.
Yeah, but we don't worry about things like that.
You don't worry about things like that.
Whatever, you bail me out.
I've never bailed you out of anything. I can't remember bailing you out of anything in my lifetime. Can you think of anything I've ever bailed you out of?
Sure.
You can? Anything that you talk about on there?
I just can't think of examples right off the top of my head, but I'm sure it's happened.
Scott's
been together too long.
You picked him up many times when Kirk's been broke down and... middle of 435 when he damn near got killed. Right?
Oh, I'll never forget the day Kirk called me. He said,
I almost died.
Somebody turned me sideways.
I almost died. He was up against the guardrail. He didn't know what to do. The driver's door was up against the guardrail. And he said, what should I do? I said, well, Kirk, get out the passenger door.
The guy was long gone, but I drove out of there. I was just a little bit shaken up that night.
You know,
I came close to death.
Todd, you can verify this a little bit.
Yes, sir.
That Toyota of Kirk's, car went through hell.
So that was
out of all the cars that he's owned over the years.
He had a long time.
He's had a lot of cars, right, over the years of us being together. That Toyota, it got more abuse than any car that you've ever owned.
I had it about 10 years, and I bought it brand new. Didn't have any miles on it at all, and I put over 150-some thousand miles on it.
That's the only car I ever knew Kirk to have.
But
when I started, he had just got it.
Hold on, Kirk. Let me ask Kirk a question. Let's see if he's going to be honest when I ask him. How many times did you wreck that car, Kirk?
I don't know. too numerous to count.
I remember the time I had been working with you guys about a week, and we were cutting intros for our TV show out at Lakeside
Speedway. And he wrecked?
And remember, we had those big rocks out there at the entranceway at Lakeside Speedway, those giant boulders. And they were getting ready to come in, so he said, hey, I better move my car before these people start coming. He backed up, and he backed right in. I'd only been with you guys like 2 weeks, and he hit that boulder.
Well,
and I was like,
hold on. His new Equinox that he's got?
No, it was when...
The new Equinox has been broken.
Yeah.
He did it right down the street.
That's
here.
That's true, too.
Yeah. Hey, Austin, I want you to look this up. Caleb just said on here that Bulls Gap just posted they're closing for the season. Can you try and look that up?
I just sent you in Messenger the article to that.
What the hell?
My gosh. What is going on?
Volunteer Speedway, where they had the big Kyle Larson.
They just had the biggest crowd of the history of that race, of that racetrack in the last 20 years, and they're closing it down. Why is that? Kirk, I want you to read into that and tell me what you find out on that, okay?
Is it because of tires?
No. I just did you send that to Kirk? as well in his messenger?
Yep,
do you know how to get in your messenger, Kirk?
Yeah, I've got it pulled up right now.
All right. Read it and then give me the breakdown of what it says, okay? Kirk is the best at reading these stuff. Yeah. So, anyway, that's a bummer. Because I really like that racetrack. And I really enjoyed watching Mike Mueller pick up that $20,000 50-lap race that he won here just about a week ago.
All right, check that, Kirk. I just sent it to you.
Right? He's reading it right now. So that is a bummer to hear that. Listen, Austin, we've talked about this all week, right? This whole tire debacle thing that's going on across the country could force tracks to go out of business. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
If they don't have any tires and the guys can't buy tires anywhere around their area and they can't go to the racetrack and race, people aren't going to show up to watch five cars race.
No. Right. And you're right. We'll have to see what Kirk has to say about what the true reason was why Volunteer Speedway shut down. But, you know, that place is usually a crowd puller and an attractive place to go race. So I don't know if it may be something internally that they were just done. Maybe the Kyle Larson race was kind of like the unknown last event, the last big one that they wanted to have, and just called it quits after that. But we'll see what Kirk has to say.
Yeah. Well, I'm not really sure exactly the reason why they're shutting
down. Well, Vic Hill, who's the promoter of that racetrack, said that there was a lot of maintenance work that needed to be done. To just be completely honest, that had been neglected over the past several years, and he's talking about major water, sewer leakage and plumbing issues, electrical problems, burned-out track lights needing to be replaced by having to use a truck rock grader and water truck repairs along with completely related projects, thorough cleaning, and restrooms needing repair. And while the Kyle Larson race was a great financial success for event promoters, Flow Racing, it was not for Volunteer Speedway, and unfortunately things just didn't work out.
So they must
as we had hoped, and carefully assessing operational costs, both Chelsea and I, this is quoting Vic Hill here, they've decided moving forward is just not in our best interest not schedule future races.
This brings up a question. If you have that many things going on, if you're sewage and all this is going on, and you have all these problems, just maybe the city was going to shut them down.
I don't know, but it was going to last.
I mean, seriously, we've seen this done before.
But why would you let it get so bad? You know, why would you wait so long and have, you know, multiple promoters and people come in there and not take care of just the bare necessities of a track owner and track promoter's responsibilities?
Well, just going to take them too much money to fix it up.
Right.
Now it is because you let it go for so long.
Well, you know what? You're right, Austin. What you need to do is do the maintenance a little bit at a time, right?
Don't try to
take on a huge, giant budget at once. No. Try to do a little bit at a time.
Because all the money they just made off that Kyle Larson event is now down the drain and fixing the track.
Hold on.
Or facility.
From what it sounds like.
They didn't make the money off of it.
Flow Racing released that racetrack to run that race. That's what it sounds like.
They probably got him.
But let me say this. They said that was the biggest crowd they had there in 20 years.
Yes.
Right?
Biggest washed event on Flow Racing.
Listen, if that crowd was that big, they sold the shit out of concession stands.
They had to make some money in-house on that. Because
that's what it's all about.
They didn't lose money that night.
No,
not what they're saying. They just didn't make the money you think they might.
Right, it was just going to cost them a pile of money to fix it up. And I don't know how long Vic Hill has operated that racetrack. I don't really know.
I think here recently.
I know.
Took it over recently, you think?
That's what I believe. Yeah. I'll look into
it. But I'm with Scott on that. If you have an electrician come in, let's say, or a plumber comes in, and there's something that goes against state code,
right,
it has to be fixed, and they have to turn that in.
Right.
Or they'll lose their license because they're not reporting it.
The problem is these racetracks got to get conditional use permits, right? And if you've got a bunch of issues, they're not going to give you the conditional use permit. I don't know what the conditional use permit is.
I have no idea what the government is
right now.
I don't know what that is there. But, I don't know.
But let me tell you this. They shut down the concession stand at I-70 Speedway back in the day because sewage was running across the floor in there.
Oh, my God.
And they had all kinds of problems out there, and they basically just shut them down. Could that be the case? Sure. We don't know.
I think more likely than not, it was just going to cost them way too much money to get that track fixed up to where they could operate it.
Like you said, you get a
few. You know, it didn't look that bad when I was out there last year. And let me tell you this. When we were there last year with the Lucas Oil ASES National Sprint Car Tour, we had 11 cars. It was the lowest car count I've ever seen in the history of me traveling up and down the road with the National Tour. The crowd was huge. They had a monster crowd, and they didn't care there was 11 sprint cars there. They enjoyed it. It was a good show, and a lot of people were there. So I don't understand how they could not make it.
I like the track. High bank, fast racetrack.
Yeah.
Puts on a good show. Mm-hmm. When you were there a year ago,
it was great.
And a lot of things you don't see from the outside. Mm. You know, we've seen that with Lakeside Speedway, where they've had the flooding out there, and you see a lot. There's a lot of issues out there after they had the flooding that you don't see on the surface that can be quite expensive,
Austin,
when you start digging underneath the hood and looking at stuff that you can't see from the outside. Sometimes it could be worse than what it really is.
Austin, is there a contact number in that press release? Maybe we could get a hold of the promoter before the show's up.
There's a telephone number to Volunteer Speedway, so I'm not sure. Maybe
give that phone number a call and see if that promoter answers the phone and see if we can get him on.
You remember when Lakeside, when they took over, the new ownership took over Lakeside, how much they had to spend because
right.
You have to update things. I mean, that's part of the maintenance thing, but you know as well as I do, man, there's a lot of things that are under the hood that nobody even talks about.
Nobody knows about it.
Yeah.
Right.
And
yeah.
I'm not saying Lakeside Speedway is that way now. But,
no. But that's how those things
were. It was after those floods.
Yeah.
For sure.
All that electrical problem. They had to replace a lot of electrical work underneath there, so...
By the way, Lakeside Speedway is still on for tonight.
Yes, sir.
It's
looking nice.
Located, it's not far from where we're at.
A little soupy out there today, but it's going to be a good race today.
Opening night, I'm thinking
I might
about
be out there for a little
there.
Bit.
Right. Well, our boy's racing out there tonight at Lakeside, right?
That's why
Austin, you're racing tonight, huh?
He's on the phone, Kurt.
So racing a modified here last several weeks up at I-35 Speedway. Can't wait to
Thank
get
God
his sprint
he's not
car
racing
out
up there anymore.
He can't wait to get his sprint car out on the track.
Why would you want to go up there when you can race at Lakeside Speedway?
It was the only track open.
Yeah.
Well, they'll be running out there tonight. That's
man,
sure.
I can't wait.
A big trophy and big payday out
there,
too.
I can't wait to go out and watch
night.
Austin run that modified. I just hope it doesn't screw him up driving his sprint car. That's all. That's my biggest concern.
He'll adapt.
It's a big track. So it's a lot.
You could get some bad habits driving a sheet metal car.
But he drives that sprint a lot more than he drives that sheet metal car, doesn't he?
Well, I know, but he's been driving this thing for 3 or 4 weeks now. So
but
I just hope he didn't get any bad habits.
He probably sits in a simulator a few nights a week, too, in that sprint car simulator. I'm sure we're on hold with somebody right now.
No, so. I think he's trying to talk to somebody. So
Lucas Oil Speedway is opening this weekend. Got the MLRA late models down there.
I'm going to watch that.
Tonight and tomorrow night.
I'm going to watch that. On MAV TV Plus.
That's they've got that on there too. So that's an option. Could go there tomorrow night.
Yeah. I don't know where I'm going to go tomorrow night. You know, our good friend up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, Bob Baker, he just sent me a picture of it raining its ass off up there in Knoxville right now.
Doesn't look good for Knoxville.
No, it doesn't look good at all.
Well, those storms we had rolled through Kansas City just for a pop-up yesterday, but they said there were going to be some big ones across the county or the country today, so I'm sure there was a nice little band of it hitting across Knoxville Raceway.
Knoxville's going to wait till tomorrow morning to make a decision for tomorrow night. Is that right?
Where did you hear me say that, Kurt?
I heard Austin talking about that a little bit earlier. So they're going to make
I don't
a,
remember Austin saying that they were going to wait till tomorrow.
We'll have to look that
Maybe
out.
Maybe I misunderstood.
We'll have to figure that out. So, yeah, man, that's a bummer. I was thinking about going to Knoxville tomorrow. So, hey, Kirk, did you get an email from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum yesterday?
I did. Did you get it?
I didn't get it. Could you forward that to me?
I can do that.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that's a bummer. You know, I thought about going to Hobstock, but that's 420 miles away from here.
It's a long ways.
That's a drive.
Well, it's not just there. You can do the four.
Oh, it's not that big a deal.
No,
it's
I know,
just what would I rather do? Would I rather go to Hobstock, drive 420 miles, or would I rather just drive 2 hours down the road and go to Lucas Oil Speedway and watch MLRA? Or better yet, maybe I just sit right here in this studio and watch it on all these TVs I got going on around here.
The biggest thing that would keep me from driving to Hobstock, Indiana, would be what's the weather forecast? I wouldn't want to drive all the way out there and only get it rained out.
At least if you go to Lakeside, you can just turn right around and come back home.
Right.
That's a great racetrack, by the way, Tri-State Speedway out there. Do a great job of prepping that racetrack. Seen a lot of great sprint car races out there, so hopefully they'll get it in tomorrow night.
Yeah. Well, let's hope so, because that's where I want to go. I saw that on a presser about practice being canceled tonight at Knoxville, and we'll make the call around 11 a.m. tomorrow about tomorrow night.
There you go.
All right. 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so they were supposed to have practice tonight, just not to be. So.
Well, they had a private practice last night. I think there was a couple drivers that were practicing there last night. All right, Austin, he just got off the phone with the people at Bulls Gap.
Yep, I got promoter Vic Hill on the phone.
Vic Hill. All right, let's bring promoter Vic Hill on the phone right now. Vic, how you doing? We appreciate you taking the time at the last minute notice here to come on Mostly Motorsports. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm not promoter this week. I'm going to be race car driver again. I'm going to go to Smoky Mountain down there and make a lap or two.
All right. Well, good for you.
Race,
yeah. How long you been racing?
Oh gosh. Since about 95, 93.
Wow.
So started out in limited late model, and then actually, like I said, this Volunteer Speedway, my engine shop's only 2 miles from there.
I see.
And, you know, I've raced there for 20-some years and had a lot of success. And, you know, worked with Joe and Phyllis on a few races prior. And,
yep.
You know, they had sold the place. And anyway, the guy that I actually had it, he couldn't do it. So I ended up, it went back to Joe and Phyllis. And when it did, this was probably November area. Well, everyone, because I've been a big part of that place, is calling Vic, you know, what's going on? Can we do this? Can we do that? And I called Phyllis and I said, look, these people are blowing me out of the water as if I own this place. She said, well, look, just tell them you do. Right now, I can't deal with it. I said, okay. So that's when Flo, you know, Rigsby and Ben Shelton and all them came up with having this race with Larson involved. And so we worked out, you know, the details of that. And at that point, I've got to go to the racetrack. Now, this is back, you know, when it's cold and warm and cold and warm, so I'm going back and forth over there.
Yeah.
And the infrastructure of that place was really killed.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as equipment,
rundown, lighting,
everything.
Yeah.
So we have worked like mules, my wife, even my guys here at the race shop, some friends, and just worked and worked and worked, had this event. And it was a huge success.
Right.
But what, in reality, at the end of the day, when I got finished with this, just on and some of it's my management problem, I lost money. And I know that's hard to believe.
Wow.
And it's not Flo's fault. So some rumors are out there that they did what they were supposed to do. But there's a way. I've talked to some other promoters and some other venues about doing some things to try to keep this place successful.
Right.
And we had a weekly show scheduled, and I looked at all the stuff that we did for this thing, and I said, man, if I lost money on this thing, a weekly show is going to kill us.
Right.
So what I'm doing is I'm still cleaning up from that race, just the mess that happens when you have an event that big.
Yeah. Wasn't that?
And we're going to have a...
I think that was your biggest event in 20 years, somebody said, right?
Oh yeah, it was phenomenal, and I mean, according to them, as far as their TV broadcast, it was the biggest one they had. I mean, it was a success on all those parts.
Yeah,
but as far as building the racetrack back up with money, it didn't do that for what I'm trying to do. So I'm going to have some practices, and I've talked to, you know, a few different, you know, Ray Cook or Chris Tilley or Barry Braun or a few people about events. And what I'm going to try to do, if someone wants to have an event there, basically I would just lease that turnkey. Now, their insurance, their everything,
right,
for a dollar amount. And I'll prep the track. I'll make sure the facility, you know, the bathrooms work, all the grunt work of that, but
right,
not have to manage any concessions, any of their show. It'd basically be their show completely, where I wasn't required to get insurance and ambulances and fire trucks and just all that stuff that goes along with that.
Yeah.
To simplify it to where, okay, at the end of the day, I know I made this much money that I can put back into this place. It definitely needs more.
Right.
And it's not a process that happens overnight.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying, if you were to lease the facility, you'd give them the concession and everything. Not because most people,
I would give them, yeah.
Most people, yeah, take, well, the concession, right, when they lease the racetrack.
They do,
yeah.
But here's what happens with concession. Like, we had phenomenal concession, but just with, I don't know, confusion or new people or whatever, when you put the numbers all out on paper, they didn't add up.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, it was a, I mean, I looked at the food that's left, and there's like nothing, you know, some French fries and stuff like that. And with that, I should have made really good money. And I'm not saying people are stealing. I'm just saying,
right,
that,
right,
it's confusion. And I know the concession was absolutely packed, and maybe they were given two cheeseburgers, and just, I know how confusing it gets.
Right.
And,
yeah,
and it's all new to people.
Right. Yeah.
So,
no doubt,
to simplify that, you know, at a later date, I may say, hey, I am going to do the concession. But right now, the people that are doing, you know, that have done these races, they can handle all that. Whether they lease it out and get a percentage or something like that. I've talked to Riley Hickman down at, I mean, I've talked to everybody,
right,
about how they do things. And, you know, it's almost like if you're going to do the concessions and do the whole show, you've got to be a family, not just a group of people thrown together.
Right. Vic, let me ask you a little question here. Before you took over the facility and you have the new owners in there, the prior owners and the people that ran that facility before, did they neglect the facility over the years?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what
Absolutely.
It sounds like to me.
Yeah. And it was a shock to me when I got over there on what, and I build race engines, not Caterpillar engines and
right.
things like that. And it's like,
right.
holy smokes. So, you know, I had to actually pay people to come in, and there's still work to be done. You know, the grader is still, hell, it fills up with water, and it's a catastrophe. So there's got to be some new investments there. And you got to make money to do that.
Yeah. Let me ask you another question. Has the city been on you about making some capital improvements on the, you know, because sometimes they get in there and if they see you got a sewage problem or whatnot, has the city come to you and said, you got to fix some few things before you can open up?
No,
no,
no, none whatsoever. There's not anything like that. It's
okay.
On city sewer and all that. All that was
gotcha.
Fine. When I
gotcha.
Talk about bathrooms and so on and so forth, it was plumbing, toilets, things, you know, all the things that make the toilet work,
right.
replacing them, and
hardware,
hinges on doors, and just all that. Yeah, a ton of plumbing. Like, I went over and there were pipes busted, and so we fixed them. Well, then I turned the water on, and that we had that cold spell come through.
Yep.
Just, I don't know, April, whatever it was. So I go over, turn all the water off, winterize everything, go back, turn the water back on. So you're right around this facility, everything's good. Well, I leave. It was cold for a week, and I'm not there for a week. Well, the first sunny day, I'm back over there working on it, go down to the bottom.
Pipes broke.
And the concession stand looks like a lake.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, hell. And I'm so I get the water shut down. I'm in there with a broom, and I'm sweeping water out of this thing. My phone rings, and it's the Mossheim Water Department that said, you've used 77,000 gallons of water.
Oh,
I know.
My
I know.
Oh,
shut
my
off.
Gosh.
So people don't see that part of how
right.
this was a job. I mean, I put like 250 lights in the scoreboard because, you know, half them didn't work. And I put,
right.
you know, balluses in the big expensive lights. That's a few thousand dollars.
Yeah.
So it was just a, I mean, it was a success. it was disappointing for me. And like I said, again, Flo Racing and Larson, they did nothing wrong.
Right.
There's a misconception that's out there right now that Flo just took all the money and ran. That is not the case.
Right.
So they did make money. It was a success. It was my end that wasn't.
Right.
A success from it just unforeseen things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I was out at your racetrack last year. I traveled the last 13 years with the Luxol ASCS National Sprint Car Tour, and I know when we came out there, our car count was the lowest I'd ever seen it in the 13 years that I'd been on the tour, but you had a huge crowd out there that night when we showed up out there.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted to see the sprint cars. It turned out to be a pretty good show, but unfortunately, we didn't have enough cars out there, but... Just kind of give us a timeline of when you think that you're going to get this place back open, Vic. Do you have a frame that you're trying to work in?
I mean, I'd love to run three or four more events this year that are, whether it's a Southern Nationals or whatever it may be, just a big event to where we can keep the facility going, and then that gives us a winter time or in the fall to do repairs so you can start next season on a fresh plate where you're not just jumping through your butt backwards trying to make it happen or worried about something, you know, not doing what it's supposed to do. Turn the lights on, they don't come on. I mean, there's just a lot. You know, the lights there run off a generator.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And power. Mm. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a huge thing. And that was the next thing. I looked at it, and believe it or not, I made sure it was full of oil and all that. And I had to replace, I had to clean it and then replace some water necks and some things like that on it and got us through this event. Well, I went back over there and I took the air filter out of it and stuff like that. We hadn't had anything done to it since 19.
Yeah, who knows 19. When. Right, yeah.
Right, and that's an expensive piece if it blows up.
Right.
And there are no lights. I mean, all the big center lights were run off that generator.
That could put you out of business almost.
Oh, yeah, or in the race.
Yeah.
I mean, it had been a catastrophe the other night with all those people. If the lights had gone boom and that thing had blown up.
Right.
So I just don't want to put myself in that. I don't want to roll the dice on that again.
Yeah.
So, Vic, this is Kirk. They're still trying to sell the racetrack. It reverted back to its original owners. Just what is the process of trying to get the track sold?
Well, I had an appraisal done on the facility. And they're still definitely trying to sell it.
Yeah.
I've talked to one gentleman that may be interested in buying it. And if he does, this particular man has the equipment already that the facility needs and some things. And he would be more of just an outside management for it.
Right.
But right now, you know, to sell... As a functioning racetrack, there's some infrastructure things that need to be repaired before it's, quote, a functioning racetrack.
Gotcha.
Right.
That you're not, the way I described it to a lot of people, it looks like that it's been fixed with duct tape for the last 8 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like I hate to use this word, but it sounds like the owners that owned it prior to you guys coming in there was a slumlord. It's what it sounds like to me.
Well, and in their defense, if they're not making any money,
how can they
and
fix
they bought
it
to right. make money, how yep. can they fix it? And that's what right. I'm trying not to do.
Right.
You know, and they just walked away. They're like, look, this thing is overwhelming, and I'm done with it.
Right. Well, it's such a great facility, man. We hope that that everything comes through for you guys out there. You know, when I went out there and saw that racetrack, I was just blown away with the banking and just the facility itself. And from the outside looking in, it didn't look that bad. But, you know, from looking from the inside out, it sounds like it's much worse. Now, are you interested in, Vic, owning the racetrack yourself as just a single owner yourself? Are you wanting to do that?
I would entertain that, but I've got a very successful engine business that takes a lot of my time as well.
Yeah.
And I would have to have
somebody help you there.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, you know, it's just like this weekend, I'm going to go race. I still like to race every once in a while.
Right. Right, right. Are you running a super late model, or do you run a crate late model?
Oh, yeah. No, I run a super.
Yeah, yeah.
See, at Volunteer, I've won the championship at that track more than anyone in the history of the track. I mean, like I said, it's been my home track. It's 2 miles from me.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I love the facility. And that's why I was trying to do what I'm, or trying to do what I'm doing, so it doesn't just go away, because it is a fabulous racetrack.
Yeah, no doubt.
You're trying to give back what it gave you. Much pleasure.
Exactly.
Right, right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Vic, we sure appreciate you taking the time. Is there anything that you want to get out? Because we've got 44 states and 9 countries that listen to this show every day. We're on Monday through Friday, starting at 12 noon Central Time. Is there anything out there? Because we've got a lot of people that listen out on the East Coast. Is there anything that you want to tell those people that are listening on the show right now to make sure that they understand that you want that facility to survive? Is there anything you need to convey to the listeners right now?
Well, basically, that they just understand where I am with trying to bring this place back to life. And it didn't, like I said, it isn't going to happen overnight.
Yeah,
I've got a few little irons in the fire that would be a success for the racetrack as far as financially to bring back more money, like I said, to rebuild the infrastructure of that place.
Yeah,
that's what we've got to have.
Well, Vic, it sounds
tell them just to keep their, keep their ears open and eyes open, and we get something going. That's definitely something that I'll get out there immediately.
Yep.
But right now, I don't have a definite date for anything other than some people leasing the place to come test, which keeps the track in good shape. That way, it doesn't just sit there and rut up and turn into an old useless rest stop.
Just what you're trying to tell is everybody, don't get your panties in a wad. Just be patient, and you'll be back sooner than later. That's what you're hoping, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Vic, thanks for taking the time here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products at Works. Thanks so much for taking the time. I appreciate you coming on at the last minute notice. When things start turning around, we'll get back with you, and we'll check in with you again, okay?
Sounds great.
All right. Thank you again, Vic. We appreciate you. All right. Thank you.
Vic Hill, good guy.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about everything you said right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Stay tuned for more of Mostly Motorsports. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway. Oh, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. Mostly Motorsports is brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works, and we can't thank them enough for being great supporters of the Racing Boys for the last 12 years. Man, they've just been really good to us over those years. All right, let's get into what we just talked about with Vic Hill from Volunteer Speedway, Bulls Gap, Tennessee. What'd you take out of that conversation, Kurt?
I like that guy a lot. Honest guy. First of all, they put out the press release, and there was large quotes in there about some of the issues that they were having there, and I think he was being upfront and honest about it.
Right.
The thing I appreciate the most about Vic Hill is when we called him a while ago, he answered the phone and is willing to talk about it and answer questions about it.
I guarantee it. Nobody has spoken to Vic Hill before we did.
But people,
when did that press release come out? How long ago did it come out?
This morning sometime, did it not?
Right.
But he, the thing I appreciate most about what Vic Hill did is that he explained it. Available to answer questions about it and didn't try to shy away from it and was open and honest about what he's dealing with down there. And, you know, in this day and age with social media, there's a lot of people that will twist and turn a lot of what he said there and try to make something out that's not. And I thought he did a very good job of explaining the whole situation, and it was believable, and people ought to take a lesson from what Vic Hill just did about how to handle stuff like this.
Right.
He's a businessman himself. He's already a businessman, but you got to be open and transparent.
Here's the thing about what Vic Hill just did.
Yeah.
He was transparent.
Absolutely. Honest.
You've got to be transparent when you get yourself into a situation like this. And obviously, it pains him as much as it does anybody to close down that racetrack.
Right.
He doesn't want to close it down. He's the all-time winningest late model driver there, he said, right? He didn't want it to close down. That'd be the worst thing that could ever happen to that racetrack.
And he's not blaming Flo and Kyle Larson. They did everything they were supposed to do.
He never put blame on them. And he wanted to make it perfectly clear that Flo didn't run off with the money.
That's right.
Yeah. They did exactly what they said they were going to do, and everything is fine between Flo, Kyle Larson, and Bulls Gap, Tennessee Volunteer Speedway.
Moving forward, he just explained this is the situation. We've got all these issues we got to work through, and right now not able to put on a weekly program at this racetrack until we get these problems solved.
And you know, I hate to ask them those kind of questions, but when I asked him, was the city on you about that, he said, absolutely not.
No.
This was their decision to do that. Austin, what'd you take out of that interview?
Well, now we have some clarity of what's going on. You know, we talked before we called him, and it was just all speculation. And, you know, it kind of proved some points that we had, you know, that, you know, the owners kind of didn't ran it down. But, I mean, you have no money to spend on it. You can't go in debt, right?
So, right.
But at least he has.
If you're not making money, you can't spend money.
Right. And at least he has, you know, a kind of a plan of what he wants to do. And he doesn't want to see it, you know, become just a field. You know, he wants it to be a racetrack. And, you know, he's taking the right steps and trying to bring the place back to what it deserves to be.
Yeah.
He was successful coming on this show because now we don't have near as many questions about what's going on there as we did half hour ago.
Hey, so we got some raw content.
We're not going to assume anything. Yeah, that's right. The thing right now. We're not going to assume anything. You know, one thing I didn't ask him, did the tires have anything to do with it?
Oh, yeah.
I should have asked that question.
I don't think so. I mean, we didn't ask the question, but I don't think that was the major issue there.
It plays a part in it, but, I mean, if your facilities, he talked about a lot of things that's wrong with that place and a lot of major things. I mean, your lights are powered by the generator. You can't.
Infrastructure.
Yeah,
you can't run
a successful racetrack like that. And, you know,
No.
You never know. Next year might be better on a lot of different situations.
He's got more problems on his hands than the tire issue right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
At that racetrack. So yeah. I appreciate him coming on and answering the phone when we called him.
That was a hell of a deal there.
That annoys
you did
happen.
Good there, bud. You did real good there.
I know. It rang.
Were you shocked when he answered the phone?
Yeah, it rang for forever. And then he answered. And I'm like, Vic? And he's like, yep, that's me. I'm like, perfect. I got a deal for you.
All right.
There was a phone number in the press release.
And he didn't hesitate to come on either.
Oh, no.
How about that? All right.
He told the story twice, actually.
Did you tell him that it was live?
Yeah. I said we'd do a daily show live. We got a great following. We got a lot of late model fans. And we got a, you know, what, 44 states, I think is what you said, and, you know, 9 countries. So he definitely got a story out.
All right.
Most times you see a phone number in a press release, it goes to a voicemail or something. Actually, somebody answered the phone when we called. How about that?
Most people on a day when they put that kind of press release out don't want to answer any questions.
That's right. They just want to let the press release talk about it.
You know what most promoters do when that happens on something like this? They want to let the fire burn itself out.
That's not a good policy.
But that's how most of them handle it.
I know it.
Right.
But if you want a lesson on how to handle situations, Vic Hill coming on this show and doing what he did, that's the way you handle it.
Yeah. I don't have any. Rick says, what's Racing Boys beef with I-35? I don't have any beef with I-35.
I don't know what kind
it's
of beef
not,
do you
it's
have
just
with
not
that?
One of my favorite local tracks.
No,
all.
I mean, it's a fun track to drive. I know
everybody rubbers up too much.
Yeah, though. Track's awful.
Yeah.
Facility's nice. I mean, track's hard.
Do they ever work that racetrack up there in between intermission?
No. Never. No. He drags.
What you get is what you get.
Actually, he drags a box blade around it and pulls off if there's a little bit of a
takes
cushion.
Takes the moisture out.
Yeah, well, he just skims the top. So if it ever tries to build a cushion or have a little bit of choppiness to it, he'll pull it off. And it's harder than a brick half the time, and it just takes rubber. So I'm not a rubber. I think 99%
Rick
of people
says,
don't like rubber. So
he goes, what's Racing Boys beef with I-35? I know what my beef is.
Yeah, what is it?
But he isn't telling me what his is. He never said. So, Rick, it's on you now, buddy. How about last night at Bloomsburg? I got to say it, man. As much as I really like Scott Boguski, you know, he was leading that race. It looked like he might even have a chance to win that race. Bill Balog got around him down there in 3 and 4. And the next corner, he went down there and he smashed his little monkey down there in turn 1.
Got up into the wall.
He stepped on his little monkey.
Well, did you see what he did at the start, too? Boguski plays games a little bit.
No, hold on. They penalized Anthony Macri for that. They put him back to the second row. They felt that he was the one.
The way I saw it, I was just walking by when I saw the start. but it's like Boguski just checked up right as Macri took off, so it made, you know, Macri looks like he jumped. Same thing happened to me with Jeremy Campbell. Jeremy Campbell was rolling with me at Lucas last year and come for a start, and he just stops, and I take off, and I get sent back. So
right,
they'll play games with you.
Didn't seem like Macri was complaining about that call after the race.
No, he said something in the post-race interview. Do we have that post-race interview? Do you have it?
We don't. We can get it here in a little bit.
All right. Why don't you reel that up?
And the way I heard it, he was blaming himself more than anything else.
He did. He blamed himself for it, for the most part. Yeah.
But Boguski, he had a shot at it there, but once he got passed by Balog, then all hell broke loose for him. Got upside down, and that was that.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, he left a major bruise on his little monkey.
That was a hell of a move that Macri made to get around Bill Balog for the lead in traffic.
Well, you know, that was, and another thing about Anthony Macri, when he did get in the lead, he just sliced through that lap traffic like nothing, right?
Right. That was his fourth straight win at different race routes.
Hold on. He's the hottest 410 driver in the country. He's got 6 wins this year, and that's his fourth in a row.
How about that?
Yeah.
Then he's going back to Williams Grove Speedway tonight, where he won last week. And then on Saturday night, Port Royal Speedway, where he owns that racetrack. He is really good at Port Royal Speedway.
All right. Austin's got it queued up. Let's listen to Anthony Macri's post-race Victory Lane interview that he did right after the race.
Anthony Macri, Anthony, man, you know, how much fun is this 39M car to drive right now? It just, to me, watching you on Flow and Dirt Vision last week, it just feels like this thing is on a rail. Is it pretty darn easy to drive, or are Jim making you hustle this thing a little bit?
I don't know. All I know is this is pretty badass. I mean, we've won 4 in a row before at Port Royal, but to win 4 in a row at 4 different tracks is pretty damn cool. So these guys work their asses off, and I've been trying to do my best behind the wheel. So I was pretty mad at myself for jumping that start, but that just lit the fire under my ass a little bit more.
Lap traffic, Balog's kind of – he seemed like he just stumbled a little bit in lap traffic. Is that when you kind of can see that blood in the water and when you pounce? Is that what you were seeing?
I mean, it's obviously to go through. It's obviously better to go through lap traffic in second, and I was able to just zig when he zagged. So I was able to get through lap traffic as efficiently as I thought I could, and we got the lead there, and then it was just trying to get through lap cars efficiently as I possibly could as a leader then. So it all paid off, and here we are.
Looking at the rest of the weekend, Williams Grove there for the longest time. It was like, man, 360 wins, second, 410. You got that first 410 win, and ever since then, it feels like this 39 car has been a rocket there. How you feeling going into tomorrow night? You got the last win there. Port Royal's been going good. The 39M got what it takes to sweep the weekend?
I don't know. I think the pressure just got added a little bit more, and I don't know. I guess we got a huge target on our back now.
Well, he lights the candles. Nick, his dad, going to put the pressure on him. Anthony Macri, tonight's main event winner. George Henneberry will have
All right, that's Anthony Macri after he picked up his win last night at Bloomsburg there in PA. What did you think about that race last night? You know, that track was a little rough, wasn't it, last night down there in Turn 1? Did you notice that, Austin, a little bit? It was a little rugged down there in Turn 1, wasn't it? And Marie brought that up as well, and I noticed that, but it didn't seem to make much of a difference for the drivers last night, though.
No, I mean, everybody has to race on the same track, so
right.
You just got to race around it. And the place is pretty new. I'm going to say it's maybe its second year being open, so I don't think they run a whole lot of races. I'm not really familiar with this place, but I mean, they're still kind of working the bugs out of it. But, you know, for the first Wing 410 shot, I think it was pretty good.
Yeah, Tommy said, I think he pulled the wing back too far. Are you talking about Anthony Macri, Tommy? That's what I'm wondering. Posse beats the All-Stars last night. I think the All-Stars were second, third, fourth, and fifth, but Anthony Macri picks up the win. So that one for the Posse.
Yeah, the non-sanctioned race on Wednesday night at Bridgeport Speedway, and then All-Stars last night, tonight, tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I like this comment. It says, you know, when they ask him, okay, you got things rolling right now, but he understands
right.
That when you're the guy, it's a little different when you're then sneaking up on people now. He knows he's got a target on his back, that it just gets that much tougher right now to keep this thing going. But that's a different type of racetrack last night than the big half miles he's going to be at, which he really excels on, these big half miles, right. Williams Grove and Fort Royal Speedway. For him to do that on that type of a track last night, that's pretty impressive.
Tommy said that he felt that Scott Boguski pulled the wing back too far.
Could be.
But all I know is he mashed the head of his little buddy down flat. That was not good. Right after getting passed, he got real tight. And so that's why he thinks he pulled that wing back.
Yeah.
Did you notice it being pulled back?
I didn't notice that. But, I mean, Tommy's right. He probably pulled it back too far. And
tighten you up.
Yeah, I got caught in dirty air. And then with it being not super heavy, but a little choppy over there, it's just three bad combinations that wiped out a car.
But Boguski said that the wall was covered down there, and he couldn't judge his distance between him and the wall. Well, no, listen, it was a little covered up. Now, if you go back and look at it, when he hit that wall, it was completely covered up. Only where he knocked the wall clean was there mud off the wall.
I think he's just trying to cover him for himself.
No, I'm going to give him a benefit of the doubt a little bit.
Hey, I'll tell you a driver I've been impressed with, Justin Peck. He runs great. I mean, this guy is he's another star on the rise, in my opinion. Tyler Courtney got around him one time, but then he was able to get back by Tyler Courtney, which that was pretty impressive for him to run third. And then he came back from trouble the other night in that race at Bridgeport and rallied back to a really good finish. I've been really impressed with Justin Peck, with what he's been doing the last couple of years.
All right, so we're going to go to the phone.
Yep, got Pat from Iowa. He wants to talk a little bit about the tire issue.
All right, let's go to Pat. He's on the phone now. Listening. Hey, Pat, how you doing, bud?
Good, good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Thanks for calling into the show.
Good, good. Thank you. Hey, I haven't been able to listen until about 2 minutes ago. I'm sorry. Right. I've been busy with work.
That's okay.
Hey, just commenting, shouldn't this tire deal be looked at as an opportunity to maybe try something different with having just one compound throughout all of sprint car racing? That would help production?
I'm not a team owner, but my producer, Austin O'Neill, who finished second in the ASCS Warrior points last year, what do you think about that? Having one tire that just goes through all sprint car racing. What do you think about that, Austin?
It needs to be done. You know, it's hard because, like, we'll use Wayne Johnson as an example. Wayne's been running ASCS and World of Outlaw events. Right. He's having to constantly change his right rear and left rear compounds to be legal for those two series. Now, you have a tire issue. Now we're trying to supply, I think there's, let's say, maybe 8 compounds of tires, different tires between lefters and right rears. Now you're trying to supply and fulfill those tires, and you're having to spread your materials so thin you don't have enough supply to fulfill
your driver's
demand. Would
you run the H on the right rear?
I don't care. Pick something a little harder, not too soft, and then just make one and throw everything you got into one tire and just mass produce as long as you can.
Would you make the compound the same on the left and the right?
I think either you run either a medium or H15 on the right rear, or an RD12 or an H12. Actually, I think H12 lefters would be better. They're just a touch harder than an RD12.
Which one's harder? The H?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the left rears. I've never ran an H15 right rear, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah. So there you have it, Pat. What did you think of that answer?
I think it's a fantastic answer, and I think this is an opportunity for us in the sprint car world that's passionate about it, but not owners, track owners, drivers, team owners, everybody. We need to use this as an opportunity, because guess what? Maybe if this works, we don't have to, when we get through this mess, maybe we don't have to be mass producing these 8 different compounds of tires. We can do one and maybe make them cheaper for everybody, and maybe the racing will be better.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
I'm just afraid we're gonna drop the ball on this as an industry, and that's what scares me more than anything else.
No, I think it would be a good idea to have a common compound that's for all of open wheel racing. I think that would be a good thing. But here's the problem. Are the series going to agree to do that? That's the one thing that I worry about. Are the series going to agree? Say, you know, because they make money off of these tires, right?
They've got the deals with these tire
companies. They got tire deals. Are they going to agree to do that with these other series?
Well, here's my belief. If they don't do something, and we're at the beginning of the season, we've had a lot of rainouts, there should be extra tires laying around, and from what I'm hearing, there's not.
No.
Yeah, we're not even out of April. Yeah, that's exactly. Worrying. That's very concerning.
It is.
Yep, because we're not even racing up here in South Dakota yet. In North Dakota, Ohio's had two races. My God.
Right.
You know, once everybody starts racing, I mean, how's this gonna work, especially when we've had rainouts the last couple weeks with the Outlaws, with the All-Stars. Pennsylvania's had some rainouts. There should be extra tires, and there's not.
Yeah. Yeah. What track do you go to, Pat? What's your weekly track?
Cusets. Cusets and Knoxville.
I think I asked you that once before. Yeah.
Yep. But I think it needs to come from the top down. I think the Outlaws and the All-Stars and the ASCS guys got to say, there's got to be a meeting with someone, with Hoosier, and say, what can we do to help it out? And it needs to come from the top down and filter down. And I think the tracks would come into play because they're going to be worried about having people in the stands and cars in the pits.
Because it's in everybody's interest. You're absolutely correct, Pat. I mean, we got to work together to make this work.
And it seems to me like nobody's taking charge of this. And I don't know who it would be, but it's got to be come from the Outlaws, the All-Stars, or maybe Terry with the ASCS. Someone's got to step up, in my opinion, and say, hey, guys, let's sit down with Hoosier. Let's sit down with American Racer or whoever, you know, if American Racer wants to get involved. It needs to be done.
They need to get creative is what they need to do.
Absolutely. Yep. Good point.
We need to look at this as an opportunity, not a disaster, because we're going to allow it to be a disaster if we don't do something different.
Well said.
Excellent call, Pat. Thanks for calling in on the show. We appreciate you.
You guys take care. Thanks, guys.
All right, there you have it. Pat,
he brings up a great point. I mean, everybody's got to work together to make this go.
Tommy didn't want to come on?
No, Tommy has a little bit of insight for us.
What? What'd he say?
He was told that Hoosier is working on a universal in-between tire for our right rear. So instead of it's a tire in between, like a medium and an H15. The H15s have a stiff sidewall compared to the medium, and nobody really likes that stiff sidewall. So what they're going to do is kind of maybe do a softer sidewall, but you know, somewhere in between the compound of the H15 and the medium.
But the problem is the nylon, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're hearing the problem is with these tires. But not being able to get the nylon made.
Right, but what they're going to do is, like we've been talking about, making one universal right rear, and that's that.
Right.
What everybody runs, and that's what Tommy was talking about.
What do you think about that?
I'm fine. I mean, I heard talks about that a while ago. But, I mean, it's better start sooner than later, you know?
Right, right.
And, you know, it's just, I mean, you look at it, too. So if I want to go race a World of Outlaw event and I have a 410 sitting there and I want to go race Lakeside this year, I'm going to have to go out and buy a bunch of H15 right rears. And that's going to cost me even more money to go run the event. So now you can excite and pull more cars when everybody has the same tire. You're just saving everybody money.
Right.
You know.
Okay, so I stand corrected. Our loyal listener, Marie, says, I checked the replay. Wall wasn't that covered up. That's what she said. She's siding with you, Austin. So
you could definitely see the wall there.
Yeah. And then Marie also says that the tire people need to think outside of the box. That's true. For sure.
Hey, we were just watching that post-race interview with the winner, Anthony Macri, and the announcer, Blake Anderson, went down there. Why not let Georgia Henneberry do all those interviews?
She's good. Yeah, she
does. Why did Blake have to go down there and do the winner's interview? Why didn't Georgia do it all?
Blake's always done it, hasn't he?
He's done it, yeah. But, you know, I'm with Kirk, though. If you have a pit reporter, let the pit reporter
do
it.
Job.
Right, yeah. We see Chase Rodman do it, so I'm just used to seeing Blake do it all the time.
You know, they finally allowed Scotty Cook to do the post-race interviews now that I'm not there anymore.
Of course.
Right. Now Scotty does the post-race interviews. Brian allows him to do it. But there was a time when Brian would hustle all the way down there just to do the winner. in the top three, and Scotty Cook and I would have to start with the third-place person and work our way to the first-place person.
Yeah, I got nothing against Blake Anderson. He does a fine job, but I'm just saying you got Georgia down there to do all that.
Let her do her job.
She did the second and third-place finishers, but hey, why not let her do the
winning? Can I say this? I don't know who else is a little ticked off about this, but I just thought about it just now. I want to know if anybody else thinks the same as I'm thinking right now. What do you think about the commercials they run during the A-Main? They've got a box and a box. They keep the broadcast going on flow. They keep the announcer where you can hear it. And then they run a commercial right next to it with no sound.
Is that the live broadcast or the replay?
I'm telling you, every time they do that, it makes me want to scream
at
the TV.
That's not on the live broadcast.
Is it the live broadcast? Because I played the replay.
The replays, they do that.
Okay.
Why do it on the replays?
I don't know. That's like we were here a couple days ago doing it, and they were playing a cigarette commercial as we're trying to watch and run highlights from
the
event.
They don't do that during the live?
I don't think so. No. I don't think they do that, the live broadcast, live feed. They don't, just on the replays that they post.
Well,
But hold on. Why is a cigarette commercial buying spots on Flow Racing to be in a sprint car feature?
Because people smoke in racing.
So I guess. Just leave that for television.
It was a Nicorette commercial.
Oh,
so
Nicorette.
Okay. Right. So it was about trying to quit smoking and chew gum instead. So.
Oh, well, that's
But still,
good.
It was a Nicorette commercial.
Can I get a box of that for Deidre? Nicorette?
A box to go. Right?
I need a box of Nicorette for Deidre. Because every time I smell her, she smells like a Marlboro Man.
I'm trying to remember who it is. There's somebody that still smokes and chews those. Nicorette. It's like, man, don't you get enough nicotine out of it?
Right. Smokes and chews them. Oh, my God.
Man, we went to Nashville for the All-American 400 last year.
Yeah. Do you have somebody that smoked with you?
Right in front of me. It's this tough. Guy, he sat by himself and...
Just chimneyed.
We called him Marble Man because he was just putting down marbles all day long. And my poor buddy Justin was sitting next to me. And
he couldn't stand it.
He got up and left. He went out under the grandstands, but man, he was just putting them down.
Huh.
It was bad. I hate when people just sit in the stands right in front of you and just blow clouds on you.
Well, there's nothing worse than smelling a damn cigarette for me.
No.
Now, listen, I smoked cigarettes when I was a kid, when I was younger, but I'm going to tell you when I quit. When cigarettes went to $1 a pack, I said, I'm not paying $1 a pack.
Now they're like $5 a pack.
I ain't doing that. No, I'm not paying $1 for a pack of cigarettes. Are you kidding me?
Like what five
are they
bucks,
now?
Right?
Five bucks. Thank God I got out.
Couldn't imagine. Like a carton of cigarettes, like $30 or $50 or something. It's
right.
They keep it under glass. Everything's under lock now.
Yeah. Well, a pretty interesting show today, don't you guys think?
Yeah, I didn't think when I walked in here we'd be calling Vic Hill and just doing a cold call on him.
Right.
Worked out pretty good.
Well, you know what? I got a feel that we're the first ones to talk to him.
I think we are.
Yeah. Because when that press release come out, what time
was it? It was actually 6 hours ago.
6 hours
ago. But 6 hours ago is 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, so.
Not many people do shows at noon.
No.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Daily, too.
If you put out a press release, be available to answer questions.
Marie says $80 for a carton.
There it is.
Oh my God.
I told you. It's nuts.
Oh my God.
That's like a
carton was like $10.
$10 back when I worked at the grocery store.
Jeez.
$10 a carton. $12 for the longs and
as an ex smoker, I'm much an ass about smokers. Well, you know, I'm kind of that way too, a little bit.
Speaking of smoking, tonight they just announced that I call it Sandstone still, but the concert's sold out. So anybody going out to see Snoop Dogg tonight?
Oh, it's sold out tonight.
It just sold out. They only had 200 tickets left, and it just sold out. So
good. I don't need a ticket.
Be careful out there if you're out there near the
secondhand smoke. Watch out for the secondhand smoke.
Had you planned on going, Todd?
No, I got a baseball game, and and it's a little. It's going to be rough out there, man.
Snoop Dogg.
It's going to be full out there tonight.
If you see a big cloud out there by Sandstone, don't worry, it's not going to rain.
Yeah, it's not a storm moving in.
Hold on, where's that at?
At Sandstone.
You've never
Azul,
been to Sandstone,
no, is it Kansas City, Kansas?
Yeah, Bonner Springs.
Oh, well, it might freak some of the racers out that it's going to rain.
Right, right.
The big smoke.
Hey, what is the weather forecast for the rest of the day, Austin?
It is. Hot, I'll tell you, it's 81 humid. Right now is what my watch says. And then
we're not getting storms until probably.
Todd, you're a little overdressed, bud.
No, Todd's in shorts like I am.
I got shorts on today.
Oh, don't you got a long sleeve on now?
No.
Oh, I thought you had a long sleeve.
I think I'm going Lakeside.
I'm going out to watch our boy Austin race.
It's at 11 o'clock at 71.
Yeah.
It's 18 mile an hour winds.
I just got a text. Kidding. My nephew Dennis is coming down to race tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Dennis, no.
So now we know why he's going.
Yeah.
Austin, it's not about you, bud.
No, I was going anyway.
It has nothing to do about you, Austin. He's solely going out there to see his nephew race.
That's so not we true. Might actually have 15
anyway. Hey, tonight, I want to know if he comes down and visit with you while you're racing tonight.
Yeah, I'll be down here.
Okay.
Parking spot number two, Kirk. Come find me.
I will be there.
We've been in that parking spot.
I think I'm going to go to Lakeside tonight. By the way, my nephew is going to be racing there tonight.
I told you at the beginning of this show I planned on going out there.
He
so.
Just got the text from his nephew.
I don't care. He wouldn't have went out there tonight.
You're wrong. I was going anyway.
All right. So you say now.
I haven't been to a race since the Chili Bowl, so I'm ready to get out and see some. And it's nice weather. It's 70 degrees out. I'm ready to get out, man.
You haven't been to a race since the Chili Bowl.
I haven't.
I can't believe we might
did
have a full field tonight.
Did you watch any of the races at the Chili Bowl?
Yeah, he stayed for the A main. Well, you and I went home early.
Hold on.
I stayed around for the end of it.
Hold on. We sat there and watched it on TV in our booth for the most part, didn't we?
We did. I made one trip to the pits.
Did you watch the races? Did you ever go up and watch any laps on the racetrack, Austin?
No.
When we were down there?
Never walked to the track.
I did watch it.
I walked to the pits with Justin Grant when I was talking to him after the race was over. And that was it. That was the only time I was in the pits.
He stood us up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he took care of what I needed to get done, so.
What did
he
you
actually
need
got
done?
Me some more sponsorship money, so.
He did?
Yeah. My sponsor won an autograph.
Justin Grant
I got more money for it.
He did?
Yeah.
Well, we need to get Justin Grant on. I like him a lot.
He got fended off by Cannon McIntosh down at Port City last night. They had this dash for cash as part of a practice session.
I didn't watch any
of
Port City last
night. They didn't have it on. I don't think. I didn't see it. But
Flo did not have Port City on last night?
No, they had a practice session and a dash for cash, and I didn't see it was on Flo. But Cannon McIntosh won that race after holding off Justin Grant. And wow. They're going to race the next two nights down there, Port City, USAC Midget.
Well, they're going to show it tonight, T-Town USAC Midget yep. Showdown at Port City Raceway. It's on tonight at 6 o'clock.
Did you see that?
It.
I didn't see any video of that last night at all. Did you, Austin?
No, I didn't. I didn't watch any racing last night.
They didn't have it on their schedule last night.
No.
I was doing artificial racing last
night. Saturday night, Flo has 17 races on.
Jeez.
They had a restricted micro class as part of the program last night.
Yeah.
And as far as the USAC Midgets, they had the practice session and then the dash for cash that lasted 8 laps. Cannon McIntosh, Justin Grant, Ethan Mitchell was 3rd, Tanner Thorson 4th, Tanner Berry Hill 5th, and Hayden Reinbold 6th. 6 cars in that race.
So what you're saying is we need to buy more TVs for the studio.
I think I might put one below that TV and another one below this TV.
You could put one where the Racing Boys deck lid is, too.
That's what I'm talking about. Put one right there.
Yeah, there, and you can do one where the Racing Boys sticker is, too.
I don't know. I like my Racing Boys sticker.
It looks cool, but hey, maximize TV space.
I might just put one in there. I've got that TV right in front of me.
Yeah.
It's the monitor TV for the show.
Yeah, this one.
I could run a HDMI to my computer right here and run it. So that way I could have 5 TVs going.
Tricked out studio.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, it's a great place to watch racing. I know that. You did a lot of that last year down here, didn't you, Kurt?
I did.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's
What do you want to watch tonight? What are you going to watch tonight, Kurt?
Well, when I get home from Lakeside, I'll try to catch the feature of the All-Star race at Williams Grove and Port City.
When that A feature's done, when I can see that he's just about made any room there, unless he's leading, I'm going to be running out that back door when they start to throw that white flag. I run down those steps, get my car, and I get out of there before the traffic even starts. And then I'm going to run home, And I'm going to try.
Well, I'm going to Waffle House after the races, so.
You are?
I love Waffle House.
Which one?
Probably
Liberty.
The one Liberty.
Yeah. Liberty?
I'm driving myself out there, so.
Well, Waffle House after
you're
the race.
You're not driving the rig out? Oh no!
I'm a helmet bag guy.
You just got to show up with your helmet bag.
Yeah, I still got to pack my bag.
That's so hard.
I know.
Getting your helmet.
My suit's been drying all week. Yeah. I can't.
Is your racing boy suit?
Yeah.
Are you gonna wear it out there?
I wear it all the time.
All right.
So you're not responsible for loading anything up after the race. After you crawl out of the car, you just head off.
Oh, right. You help load up.
Yeah. I mean, you have to. I did tires this week, so that's about it.
Got
to
do your part.
Yeah,
I like tires.
I like tires.
Professional tire guy.
That's good. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning into the show. We so appreciate it, each and every one of you that tune in every day. Man, it's always a blessing to have you guys on watching the show with us. We've got a regular group of people that tune in every day, and we appreciate those people that continue to support us each and every day. If you know anybody who would like to get involved with our show, Mostly Motorsports, or if you have a business that would like to be involved, we'd love to have you on board. We're looking for more people to get on board with the show, so if you'd like to do so, just reach out to us at racingboys@racingboys.com. Send us an email, and you know, for about $500 a month, you can have a spot running three times a day right here on Mostly Motorsports. We'll run it on Saturday mornings as well between hour number one and hour number two of Track Talk, and we'll take good care of you here on Mostly Motorsports. We also want to thank our good friends up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. They've come on board with us officially, and we'll tell you more about them in the future. We want to thank Bob Baker for getting a hold of us and making sure that they get on board with Mostly Motorsports. The next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa for the sprint car races, make sure that you go over and stop at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's located right across the track from Knoxville Raceway, and it's right on Highway 14. They're doing a great job there. They've got a great tribute to Ascot Speedway that's going to start on May 1st and run through October 1st. So if you'd like to be go down there and check that out. You know, I used to go to Ascot Park all the time back in the early 80s, Kirk. Did I ever tell you that?
You did, and you and I drove out near where that track was.
We tried to find it, remember? We tried to find where it was located, didn't we?
Did we ever find the exact location of
it? We didn't.
Trying to remember where it used to be while we were out there.
Yeah.
And if you do make it to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame, tell them the Racing Boys and Mostly Motorsports sent you so they know that.
Right, so they know that you heard it here, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, also the museum will have a track tribute to Ascot Speedway. They're going to have T-shirts, posters, all kinds of stuff up there. So go up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Again, right up there by the racetrack, Knoxville Raceway. And make sure you tell them the Racing Boys sent you. All right? Again, I want to thank Todd, Austin O'Neill, my partner Kirk Elliott for sitting in with us here on Fridays. We'll see you tomorrow. Remember, tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock Central Time, it's Track Talk with the Racing Boys, a show that Kirk and I have been doing together for 22 years. It's on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We hope that you'll join us there. We're going to play some sound from this week on Mostly Motorsports. We'll probably have some sound from, if you didn't get to hear Vic Hill today on the show, we're going to play that. Are we going to play that in its entirety tomorrow?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you didn't hear that today, we're going to play it tomorrow morning on Track Talk. So if you want to tune in, you can do so. You can watch it right on Facebook. You can watch it on Twitter, YouTube, racingboys.com. Come join us tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock Central Time, right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. Again, for Austin, for Todd, for Kirk, I'm Scott saying we'll see you tomorrow morning on Track Talk.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive.
It also improved your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.